right, I want to introduce y'all to somebody that I just met today on the telephone. And I had a friend in common recommend that I talk to this man. And in a brief conversation we had off air earlier this morning, I said, this is my kind of guy. And it's with a lot of happiness that I introduce him to y'all. Big Dave is joining us now as he is, you're almost to the city limits of Mobile, right? You're approaching the city.
Yes, sir. I'm a few miles outside of the city.
Big Dave is, you're an inspiring person. Just our brief conversation today, your story and your energy are inspiring. I'm glad to have you part of the show. To set this up and talk about what you're doing right now, I think it's fair to go back and it's tough, but go back and talk about the impetus for what you're doing now. When this all started, Big Dave, your mission in life.
Well, I mean, I guess to sum it all up very succinctly is that I have been traveling around the planet since my friend was killed on September 11th back in 2001 in the World Trade Centers. And I have done a bunch of different trips around the planet via bicycle, car, you name it. And I have hugged over 500,000 people in 50 states and 42 countries. And I'm currently on a trip where a 48-state trip where I'm doing something to make somebody smile in each state. And I can't hug or high-five like I normally do, so I'm just doing a variety of things like buying people meals. I bought the COVID units in Billings and Bismarck and Standing Rock Nation. I bought them pizzas. I hand-delivered flowers to a senior center in South Dakota. I bought food for an animal shelter. I took some homeless people out for dinner. I'm giving some money to Penelope House, a domestic violence shelter in the Mobile area today. I'm just doing what I can to make people smile because this is what we need more than anything. I think this year may be the year that we have seen the least smiles since we've existed as humans, between masks, between separation, between all of the divisiveness that has happened throughout the year, we just haven't seen smiles. We haven't communed the same way that we normally would. And we need smiles. We need to come together on a lot of things. And quite honestly, if you don't smile at yourself in the morning, you may go a whole day without seeing a smile. And that means not only do you suffer, but your whole sphere of people in your, you know, your family, your extended family, whoever you see throughout a day suffers because they don't get the energy from your smile. So I'm doing what I can to create a story of smiles and goodness that can't be taken asunder by gender, race, politics, or any of the other nonsense that has, you know, tried to separate us throughout this year.
You know, the smile emoji doesn't do it. I agree with you. Seeing another human being in person, seeing that smile is something that we all need. And I really want to applaud you too, because what you went through with the loss of your friend, I think back to that time, most people would draw in, Dave. I mean, most people would go into a shell, and you blossomed from that in a way to give to others. It's an amazing story right there from the get-go.
Well, thanks. I mean, I think that's, you know, right after that, you know, I live in Philadelphia. And so, you know, I just recall how many people had reached out to me to offer me hugs, to offer me support and stuff like that. And, you know, that those embraces was the brief respite from the pain that I was going through. And that really meant a lot to me. And as I bicycled across the United States in 2002, and what I found is that as I was going into small towns, going into, you know, small areas where no one knew anybody that had died in the World Trade Centers, and no one had, some of these people had never been into New York, and some of the places, some of the really small towns where, like Wyoming, where I remember talking to this woman that had never seen a building over five stories. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, my story and everything sort of became their connection to 9/11. And so people wanted to do something to show their support. And so I just got a lot of hugs. And a lot of conversations about doing something and about what people wanted to see in the world. And so, you know, by the time I had taken, you know, 2 months to bicycle across the United States, you know, I saw that people just wanted to see more stories like what I had embarked on. And I didn't know what I could do next until after I stopped. But, you know, I was like, I wanted to do something. And so after I stopped, you know, I heard about this bicycle race across Africa going from Cairo to Cape Town. And it was a 5-month bicycle race. And, you know, I decided, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And, you know, it was a lot to sort of, you know, separate myself from the world and everything I knew. But, you know, bicycling through Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Tanzania, Malawi, Zambia, Namibia, Botswana, and South Africa over the course of 5 months really fundamentally changed me, because I saw that people in Africa, you know, people that didn't know anybody, you know, again, in 9/11 or anything, they understood the importance of friendship.
Yeah.
And when I told them my story, you know, they wanted to hug me. They wanted to know more about my friend. They wanted to know more about the pull of friendship and the inspirational value from friendship. And so, you know, again, I wanted to do more. And I think my story is really just a great exercise and call and response. You know, every time I do a trip, there has been this great call for me to do more. And you know, we're all called to do something in life. And it's up to you whether you decide to respond. And, you know, I have, by responding one time, it has made the second response and the third response and all the other responses that I've done that much easier. I couldn't do this trip right now where I've driven almost 11,000 miles since November 20th doing good deeds for people. I couldn't do this trip now if I hadn't answered previous calls throughout the last 19 years. And so I think for anybody that's listening to this story, this isn't about me. You know, this is about what you can do and you answering the call to do good things in the world. And like I said, just answer the first call, and I guarantee the second and the third and the fourth and whatever are so much easier. And that's it. You know, the executive director of Penelope House, who I'm going to go see, you know, she has answered the call to help, mm-hmm. to helping women and family, you know, so many women and families, you know, that have been, that have been abused. And it's just, and she answers the call. And that's why I do everything that I can to help her shelter every time that I come through Alabama.
Yeah, so many questions. I mean, one of them, first of all, we talk about, you know, the inspiration, and I see what you're doing. What you're doing, that your call, your mission inspires others. Although I do think, you know, as you travel places outside the United States, they must say, what is this crazy American doing on a bicycle coming into my town? I mean, there's going to be some of that reaction. Like, you're doing what? Why? Why?
There is definitely that. Last year I did a tour where I went and I hugged 1,006 people in 2 weeks throughout Europe and Israel. I was in Dublin, Belfast, London, Paris, Rome, Vatican City, Tel Aviv, and Jerusalem. And there was that, you know, initially, that why are you doing this? And, you know, I remember when I hugged somebody in Tel Aviv and I said, you know, all right, you're smiling. My job's done. And I started walking away and the guy chased after me and he's holding his face and he said, pointing to a smile on his face. And he's saying, you know, all right, now that I'm smiling, what do I do with it? And I said, go share it.
Yeah.
And he said, that's it? And I said, yeah, man, my job's done.
I'm out for the win.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of people are initially, we've all been sort of conditioned to think that there is some sort of gimmick or some sort of catch. Like, you have to follow me. You have to buy something. You have to do something. And I don't ask people to follow me. I don't ask people to whatever. If you want to, that's it. That is your choice. But I'm just doing something good. and it's and that's it. A lot of times people are asking, why am I not more famous? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a virus on my phone.
I had that. I had that question. We're going to remedy that and make sure you are, because what we need to balance out what I think makes humans suspicious and distrustful. You've got those things, those stories, those things that happen out there. So what a bright shining light someone like you is to balance that out and say, wait a second, there are people that are doing this because it's what's right and what's good. And I think there's importance, because there is the negative out there, and we have to have the balance, and we need to talk about the balance too, because it's usually not what leads newscast. Dave, you know, I mean, it's right. Usually bad news.
Right. No, it is a shame that, I mean, the saying, you know, if it bleeds, it leaves. Mm-hmm. That is the adage that has, you know, has taken over journalism and stuff like that. But there's good stories, and I think that they need to be, there needs to be a little bit of that balance out there. You know, people want to hear good stories.
Yep. I think it is true. You know, there'll be media companies tell you they don't, but every time we tell a good story here, I see the support out there. All right, I got to ask you, I mean, a worldly man like yourself, Americans, are we, if you're going to score us as huggers, right, where are we compared to, I mean, you travel other places, is the hug, see what I'm saying, getting at, is, are we, if you had to index, are we higher on the hug scale, lower on the hug scale, where do you think?
I would say we're pretty good on the hug scale. I think that we are we can be a little picky sometimes.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, very judgy. Very, very judgy. I mean, I think probably one of the countries where the biggest response is Australia was very high on the hug scale.
Huh. Okay.
In terms of the high five scale, because it's been hugs and high fives, so yep. They always give people the option. Azerbaijan was and no one knows where that is, but it's on the Caspian Sea.
Sure.
But it is, Azerbaijan, it was like they got a press release that I liked high fives, because there would be some times that when I was riding my bike, I would put my hand out, and people would literally run to the sidewalk to high five me. As I was, you know, to slap my hand as I was biking by. And there were frequently that I would bike, and if I missed somebody, I would turn around and bike back up a hill or down a hill or whatever, just to catch somebody's hand again. It was amazing. The amount of high fives that I got in Azerbaijan was just off the chain.
Now, wait a second. So Azerbaijanis are more high five probably than any other country you've been to. They score the highest on the high fives.
Without question. Without question.
I'm putting that down in my notes. I'll use that at a dinner party. Use it at a dinner party. So listen, I was talking to Dave the other day. It's Azerbaijan that has the most number of high fives. All right. So this current tour, you're doing these, it brings you here to be at Penelope House during these good deeds as you go through. How do you, like, you decide, okay, I'm going to go here to this state and do this and go to this state. Although it sounded like in a conversation you and I had earlier, sometimes you just go into a state and it's not even pre-planned. You just find something that you see,
yeah.
Right?
So, for instance, I was supposed to do something in Huntsville, but that fell through because I couldn't get in contact with the people because of the AT&T,
oh, yeah.
You know, fiasco. So I had to, you know, screw that, and then I contacted the executive director, of Penelope House, and I drove down from Huntsville. So I've driven the whole state just to come to Penelope House. So it is, I'm just that committed to what I'm doing. And there have been some states where I didn't have anything to do at all. Like, for instance, when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska, I knew that I was going to be getting a cafe was going to be giving me 20 pounds of coffee, but I didn't have anyone to give it to. And the manager at the hotel where I was staying suggested that I give it to the People City Mission. And I asked why, and she said, because I live there. And she said that she had a really rough childhood. She lived in the shelter for a while. She met her eventual husband in the shelter. And as she's going on and telling me details about her life, you know, she's tearing up, I'm tearing up. And the line that got me was, she said, the happiness that I'm living right now would not be possible without the People City Mission. So can you please do something for the staff there? And I was like, it's done. And so, you know, even when I didn't have something overtly planned, you know, the world provides. And, you know, and I have a strong faith in life and that the world will provide and give you what you're looking for. It's never let me down. My faith has never let me down.
Where to next? Are you getting ready to wrap this one? Or?
So after Mobile, that is when I just start the big push home to Philadelphia.
Okay. So you're making your way back up. And then it's out, if I'm looking at your track record, you'll be getting home and then probably getting ready to plan your next your next outing.
You know, I think that, I'm probably going to write something. I've written a couple books on my travels. I'll probably write something, but I also have the idea now that after, you know, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of September 11th of creating some sort of art installation or some sort of installation of something with all of my pictures, with a lot of my pictures to sort of take people through my story. Something that could be inspiring, something that could be motivating to people. Cause again, you know, I haven't done anything that requires any kind of, you know, particular training or unique skill set. You know, I hug, I high five, I smile, I write about my stories, and I strive to be better each day. There's no specific training for that. It's just
But it's a rare commodity, Dave. It's a rare.
It all hinges on the desire, and that's what I want people to do. I want anybody that hears my story again, you know, look at what I've done, but think about what you can do. You know, and that's it. I'm not Superman out here. I really am not. You know, I'm just a guy that's committed to the simple things that I am committed to, and that's to making the world a better place, and you know, and trying to make my mark on the world in a very positive way.
You're a blessing. That is for sure. If people want to get more information about what you're doing, best thing to go to the website or social media. Where do they go?
They can go to my website is DavidHaleSylvester.com. On social media, probably Instagram is the best way to find me. I'm the Human High Five on Instagram. Again, the Human High Five on Instagram. But really, I mean, this is what I will tell to all of your listeners. If you find yourself down and doubting, if you find yourself needing a reason to smile, if you find yourself just crying, and 2020 certainly has given all of us a lot of reasons to cry, but if you find yourself needing a smile, then call me. My number is 267-252-1974. It's my only phone number. You know it.
Yeah, that's right. That's a number.
252-1974. Call me. Let's talk. Call me and say, hey, Dave, send me a picture. I have 10,000 images, over 10,000 images from my 19 years of travel around the planet. I have hundreds of stories that I can share with you. But if you find yourself needing a reason to smile, then reach out to me and I'll do what I can to help you smile, because it's that important to your sphere of people, to your community, to your state, to the planet at large. You know, it's that important.
It's a beautiful story.
It is, and if, you know, by the time I finally close my eyes, if someone says, hey, Dave made the world smile, then that's cool with me.
What a great message. Big Dave, thank you for being on with us. Thanks for what you're doing. Continued success. And please stay in touch with us and let me know how I can help going down the road. I'm going to take some of what you did today and hopefully pay it forward. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, brother, man.
All right.
Everyone have a wonderful new year. And really, just smile. It's that important.
Well said. Thank you. What a smile on my face for sure. Thank you, Big Dave.